Now, I'm not going to leave this on, and I don't do this very often. But I left yesterday and had some errands to run. And when I came back, I've never seen Paige so excited to see me. She said, "Daddy, I made you something." And it was wrapped in bags, in three or four different bags. And I pulled it out, and she said, "Do you know what it is?" I thought, "Well, maybe it's a mask. I don't know." She said, "It's a tie for you to wear tomorrow." So I wore it. Okay, it's not exactly my size, but it has a heart on it, and it says, "Ohio, Ohio, Ohio." She knows me very well. I will not leave this on because it will be very distracting. It is a clip-on, thankfully. So you all can tell her how great that tie is, and I'm sure that will be something that I'll keep. So just wanted to get that out of the way so that we're not distracted for the real reason that we're here this morning. We're going to talk for just a little while about when temptation comes. We often talk about sin, and we often talk about avoiding sin, but before sin comes temptation. And the problem with temptation is that temptation is not necessarily a sin, is it? No, it is when we succumb to that temptation that it becomes sin. And we always harp on, you know, don't sin, don't sin, don't sin, avoid sin and all of those things. But what do we do when temptation comes? How do we avoid it? How do we keep ourselves from falling down that path of sin? Sin is something that is absolutely going to happen to each and every one of us. And so we need to be prepared for it. Now that we know and understand that it's coming, and I'm sure that we all knew that anyway, but now that we know that it's coming, how do we react to it? How do we keep ourselves from going down that path? I believe that Joseph gives us a great example, and I know that we've talked about Joseph's on the lemonade several times throughout the however many months that we've been doing that. They've been going out every day, Monday through Friday at least, since the time that we went into quarantine. And we've talked about him several times because he was kind of the reason why it all started, right? He was somebody who's a good example of taking lemons that life gives him and making lemonade. And so we've used him several times, but I want to go in a different path of Joseph, at least for today. Joseph gives us a great example about temptation and what to do prior to even temptation coming. It's not just about avoiding adultery, right? Which is what we're going to talk about today. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn it to Genesis chapter 39. We're going to be sticking there most of the time. We will come back to James, but we'll be sticking in Genesis 39 for a lot of the lesson this morning. And again, with Potiphar's wife, it wasn't just that he avoided adultery. We're not doing a lesson on just avoiding adultery. I think we could take some of the things that he did and use them as a common practice to avoid sin in general. Though we cannot, sadly, always avoid temptation. As we'll talk about, there are some things that we can do to kind of avoid some temptation, but we're never going to be able to avoid all temptation. And as Jim mentioned, as he was up here, you know, talking about our nation, our country, just getting worse and worse and worse, right? Falling further and further and further away from God. As that happens, you'll see temptation arise more and more and more the further away from God that other people get. It's going to affect us in that way. In Genesis chapter 39, I want to start in verse 7. We'll not read the whole thing. We'll read these verses, 7 through 16, and then we'll pick some verses out, but hopefully we'll gain the whole story as we move forward. Genesis 39 and verse 7. "It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph." So we understand that Joseph has been sold into slavery by his brothers, and he has ended up here in Egypt in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar has a favorable look upon Joseph. And so we see him, you know, really being the head of the slaves in the household, really. So it came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house, and he has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" Notice he's talking about his master, Potiphar. How can I do, you know, why would I do? He said, how could I do this against God? How could I sin against God? Not against you, not against Potiphar, but against God. And as we'll look at later, all sin is against God. As she spoke to Joseph, day after day, he did not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he has brought in this Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed. When he heard me scream, when he heard that I raised my voice and screamed, he left his garment beside me and fled and went outside." So she left his garment beside her until his master came home. I want to look at this example of Joseph and Potiphar's wife and learn some of the things that we can learn about temptation. Again, it's not just about avoiding adultery, as he very much did, but it's more about avoiding sin in general and how to deal with the temptation that is going to come. The first thing that I want us to understand about temptation is we need to know the nature of temptation. Right? We talk about the nature of sin and how it comes from the devil and all of it's very, very worldly, right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all of those things that entail sin. But what about the nature of temptation? See, the nature of temptation is not as easy to pinpoint, is it? Sin, we can go down through God's Word and say, well, you know, adultery is sin and murder is sin and we have all of these drunkenness is sin. We have all of these lists of things that we can point to and say, yes, that is sin. But what about temptation? I gave this example many, many moons ago, but if Ohio State was playing in a national championship game on Sunday and somebody handed me tickets, well, that might be a temptation for me to say, you know what, Lord, I'll put you off till next week, right? Because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, if somebody else came up to me and said, hey, listen, there's a snake petting convention on Sunday. Here are some tickets. Thank you. You may keep those, right? Not a temptation at all. One of them may be, and one of them is absolutely not. But you know what? There are people that would look at that snake petting convention and go, oh, yeah, I'm in, right? That's exactly what hopefully none of those weird people are in here. And probably most of you that are in here wouldn't be tempted by the Buckeyes tickets either. But you understand the point. Temptation is different because it's going to be different for different people. Everybody's going to have a different temptation. What might tempt you may not tempt me, and what may tempt me may not tempt you. So we have to be very careful about the nature of temptation. Again, look at James chapter 1 and verse 14 that we looked at already this morning. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. You catch that? Do we see what the nature of sin is? When you're carried away by your own lust. What is lust for you may not be lust for me. But what the nature of temptation is that we are each going to be carried away by our own. Might some of those things coincide? Sure. But it's not always going to be the case. Now I want you to notice something. In verse 7 of Genesis chapter 39, notice that it says that Potiphar's wife looked at Joseph with desire. She thought, here's a good-looking young man, and I want to sleep with him. That's exactly what she thought. Here is a good-looking young man, and I would like to have him. She looked with him at desire. Now, can you imagine if Joseph had been looking at Potiphar's wife with that same desire? Well, this would be a much different lesson now, wouldn't it? We would be talking about what not to do as opposed to what it is that we are supposed to do. Because if he had the desire and she had the desire, now they have the opportunity. Desire is a forerunner to behavior. I want us to understand that, and I don't know Potiphar's wife. I have no idea what she looked like, what she acted like. No clue. But it was obvious that Joseph did not have this desire for her in his heart. You know, Jesus talks a little bit about, that type of desire in the New Testament. He says, if you look on a woman to lust for her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. Right? You're just waiting for an opportunity. Even though you've maybe not committed the act, you're just waiting for an opportunity because you desire someone. You're looking at her with lust or at him with lust. And so it's not about just, I didn't commit the act. No, you're just waiting for an opportunity, but you have that in your heart. You desire that in your heart. And so we have to be very careful because desire is a forerunner for behavior. Think about it in this way. I do this all the time with food. If we're talking about where we're going to go out to eat, and somebody comes up and says, I want Chinese restaurants opening today. I want Chinese. And I think, Chinese sounds pretty good today. But my family says, you know what, we'd rather have pizza. Alana says, I don't want Chinese today. I'd rather have pizza today. I like pizza, right? But now the thought is already in my head. I will go and I will eat pizza. And when I normally like it, but today I'm miserable. Why? Because there's a different desire. And guess what I'll do on Monday? Hey, you want to get Chinese for lunch? No, you've already got something cooking? Okay, guess what I'll do on Tuesday? Right? Until that desire is fulfilled, it's all you think about, right? Now, eating food is not necessarily sinful. Obviously, it can become gluttony, right? But eating food is not sinful. But you get the point when I'm talking about desire, right? When we desire something. Now, turn that to something that may be sinful. Turn that to something like alcohol, drunkenness. If that desire is not there, then it's not going to turn into drunkenness. But if it is, it very well may if the opportunity arises. We have to be careful about what our desires are. And so what I'm telling you is that you need to know what tempts you. I'm not going to be able to give you a list of things that tempt you because I have no idea. Some of those things may be very personal. And it may not be something that you have a desire to commit some sort of sin. Maybe your desire is more along the lines of laziness or indifference, where you know that there's something that you need to do or that you should do and you don't do it because you have a desire just to stay out of it. I don't want to get involved. I just want to stay out of it. I just want to mind my own business. I know that this needs done. I know this would be something good to do, but I'm just not having it today. Maybe it's that. I don't know. You need to know what tempts you and avoid it. Avoid it at all costs. Again, those temptations are going to come. Satan is going to find a way to tempt you. But we can avoid many of them. Again, I've had people who struggle with drunkenness, who I've talked to, who have said, you know what, I'm going to go to the bar with my friends, but I'm not going to drink. Why? You know this is a problem. You know, well, I want to be there for them if something happens, right? Or I'll be the designated driver. I hope not. Why would you bother to go if you know that that's what your temptation is? And in many cases, it's simply the desire to do it. They want to be in that situation where they feel like they can't say no. And again, maybe it's not drunkenness or alcohol for you. Maybe it's something else. Maybe it's something similar to what Potiphar's wife is going through. Maybe it's some sort of desire for someone who you shouldn't have desire for. Avoid them. Whatever it is, whatever that temptation is, and only you are going to know it, avoid it. Notice what Paul twice tells Timothy. In his first letter, 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil, and some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many a grief. Notice, but flee these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. He also tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So again, one of the things that Paul tells Timothy is avoid it, but don't just avoid it, right? If you avoid it, you may feel like there's an empty space in your heart somewhere. Well, that temptation, I'm not going to be able to succumb to that temptation. I'm not going to be able to have that sin in my life. So what do I do with that hole? And Paul said, Timothy, fill it with love, with joy, with peace. Fill it with God. So that's the first thing that we need to know. We need to know the nature of sin for ourselves specifically. Not just the nature of, temptation, not sin, but the nature of temptation itself for ourselves. I'm not going to be able to know it for you. I have to know it for me. And then avoid it. Now, temptation is going to come. I put up there, think about those who live in Tornado Alley. And I've seen comedians talk about this a couple of different times. One comedian is from Missouri. They have tornadoes every year. And she said, you'll see these people every year on the news. And they're just as surprised this year as they were last year when their house was destroyed by a tornado. Right? If you live in Tornado Alley, those kind of things are going to happen. It's going to happen. At some point, there's going to be a tornado. Right? If you live in Florida during hurricane season, it's coming, right? You know that it's coming. Now, it may not come by you every single year, but if you live there long enough, it is going to happen. It absolutely will come. We can only avoid it for so long. I would encourage you to keep your mind toward avoidance, but understand that Satan is going to find you. He knows where you are. He knows what your temptations are. He knows what will lead to sin. And he's going to find you and hit you with those things at your weakest moments. We can't say it. I've heard people say, well, you know what? Tax season really snuck up on me this year. Did it? It happens the same time every single year, doesn't it? April 15th, we all know, death and taxes. Right? That's what we have to do. We're all going to do it. How does it sneak up? No, you didn't prepare for it this year. And so we say things to put the blame off of us. We say things like tax season snuck up on me. I've read a thing that has a lot of police reports of accidents. And one of my favorites was the stop sign just jumped out at me. Did it? Came out of nowhere. No, it's been sitting in that same place the whole time, right? But we try to pass on the blame to someone or something else, don't we? Well, we can't do that with temptation. It's ours, and the moment is going to come. And what I want to gain from Joseph today is that if we focus on the tasks at hand, it's really going to help us prepare for the moment. Notice Genesis 39. Genesis 39 and verse 4. It says, so Joseph found favor in his sight, again, speaking of Potiphar, and because his personal servant, and became his personal servant, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he owned, he put in his charge. And then we find when Potiphar's wife comes to him, what does he do? He says, He's put me in charge of all of these things. I'm the head of this household. Joseph was very focused on what he was doing. He was very focused on pleasing his master, gaining favor, gaining approval with his master. He was focused on the task. He was not saying, well, you know what? Potiphar's wife is not bad to look at. That wasn't on his mind. He was focused on what he was doing, trying to be the best servant he could for his master. How many of us being sold into slavery would be thinking, I'll not do anything that I don't have to do? That wasn't Joseph. Now, notice when he gets put in prison, notice what happens in verse 22 of that same chapter. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. Do you see everywhere? This is why we talk about him in that first lemonade. Everywhere he goes, he makes something good out of a bad situation. Don't you want to be like that? I can't stand being around those people that just are negative all the time. But give me something positive. I know that this virus is nuts, right? And it's making us all nuts. But imagine people seeing us and being positive about it. Do I want to wear a mask? No, I don't. But guess what? I do. And I try not to complain too much about it. Right? Be okay. Be happy. It's okay. We need to prepare ourselves for the time, for the moment when temptation comes. 1 Corinthians, and we read this quite often, but I want to read verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians 10, no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, which means temptation is going to happen to everybody. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. He tells us again, go away from it. Flee from it, right? Get away from it. But what does he tell us here? No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. It happens to everybody. But God will with the temptation provide you also with a way of escape. So every sin that you've succumbed to, guess what you missed? The way of escape. But how often will we present it in such a way that say, well, God didn't send me that way of escape. Well, God may have sent it. You didn't see it. Or you saw it and you won't admit that you didn't use it when you saw it. We so want to push everything on everyone else, don't we? It's not my fault. Somebody else's fault. It's the person who tempted me. That's their fault. Again, I'm sure my children get tired of the phrase, my response is my responsibility. I don't care what they did to you. I don't care how they treated you. How you reacted to it is on you. Own it. There are too many people in this world that do not own their mistakes. Own it. We're going to make them. God knows that we're going to make them. If we are around loving people the way that we should be, I should be able to tell you that I made a mistake. And you shouldn't say, well, he shouldn't be our preacher. No, you should say, come here. Give me a hug. I don't care about coronavirus. Give me a hug. Right? That's what we need to have. We need to have people that are willing to step up and say, you know what? I missed it. And yes, this helps if you use it and look for it. Know that if a temptation comes, that there is a way of escape. There is a way to get out of this situation before it turns into sin. There's a way. Look for it and take it. But we've got to be honest with ourselves. We've got to be honest with ourselves about what tempts us. And we've got to be honest with ourselves when that way of escape comes. Which brings us to the last point. Respond appropriately every single time. It does no good to do it sometimes. Think about your children. If you walk into a store and they're begging you for a candy bar, can I please, can I please, can I please, can I please, can I please? No, 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 no. Will you be quiet if I get you a candy bar? Yes, here. Is that a good idea? Guess what? You may not have been, and they may not have been literally counting, but they've just figured out where your breaking point is. They will only say no so many times until they say yes. Guess what we have to do to Satan? Every single time. No. I will not succumb. I will not do it. We have to respond that way every time because he is counting. Being able to say, I resisted last time, is not going to cut it when we're face to face with God. Notice what God's word says about Joseph, and again, how he reacted in Genesis chapter 39, verses 8 through 10. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. He has put all that he owns in my charge. There is no one greater in this house than I. And he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? As she spoke to Joseph, day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. Day after day. No, no, no. How many of us would have given in? And I don't mean necessarily to Potiphar's wife. I mean, how many of us would have given in to our temptation, to our desire, our lust, when it comes day after day after day? I think a lot of us can do it sometimes, but not all the time. I think it also helps to know what it means to give in, to succumb to our temptation. When we give in or when we succumb to our temptation, it becomes sin. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Do we see that? Our iniquities have made a separation between us and our God. That's still true. Sin separates us from God. It pushes us further away from God. Is that what we want? Is that going to help us avoid the next temptation that comes? No, the closer we are to God, the easier it's going to be to avoid the temptation. Because we're going to hear what God is telling us. We're going to see that way of escape when we're closer to Him. I had roommates in college. One of them was a super soft-spoken guy. The other one was little boisterous, a little more boisterous. And they came in to the apartment one day fighting. And they were yelling at each other. Well, one of them was yelling. The other one wasn't yelling all that much. And we said, guys, what? They weren't really fighting, but I said, what happened? And one of my roommates said, I walked out into the road. I looked, walked out into the road. I didn't see that there was a car coming. My roommate, Mike, said, English, car coming. So stopped in the middle of the road and turned around and said, what? About to get hit by a car. And he comes in, he's so upset, he said, if that was you, I would have said, get out of the way, you're about to get hit by a car. Right? There was distance between them. And this other guy was soft-spoken enough that he just didn't hear what he had to say. So it put him in more danger. Guess what? Ask Elijah. God's not always going to yell at you. Right? He's not always going to be the mountain shaking. He's not always going to be the fire. He's not always going to be the loud wind. It may be a soft, still voice that's saying, Tony, don't go there. Don't do that. But we have to be in tune. We have to be listening for God. And if we have separated ourselves so much from Him, we may not hear Him when He's telling us. In 1 John 3 and verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness, or King James Version says, sin is a violation of the law, of God's law. And that's not what we want to do. And we can learn a lot from Joseph. We need to understand that temptation is coming. Sin, not necessarily, but temptation to sin is coming. You know, I think sometimes Satan waits till everything just seems so perfect in our lives, and we let our guard down a little bit to throw our temptations in front of us again. We need to be on guard all the time, recognize and understand that temptation is coming, but sin does not have to. If we know sin's nature and temptation's nature, we know the nature of sin, but do we know the nature of temptation? You need to be able to avoid it. Prepare for that temptation, knowing that it's coming. You can do a lot of things to prepare. You know it's coming, and you may not know when or how, but it is coming. And then we need to respond appropriately each and every time that it does come. Maybe it is that you need to respond right now. If you're here and you are not a child of God, the temptation that Satan is going to give you is to stay where you are. That's the easy road. That's the easy path. Stay where you are. Don't do anything. Yes, you need to become a child of God, but you can do it later. That's the temptation. There are ways to overcome it. If you're here and you are a child of God who has fallen away, the temptation is going to be stay where you are. It is so encouraging to me to see people be able to have the strength. And that's what it is. We feel like it's weakness, don't we? We feel like we're so weak because we've made a mistake and we need to ask forgiveness. That's strength. That is true strength that comes from God. When God has pricked your heart to the point where you know the right thing to do and you do it. We feel like it's weakness, but it's not. It's strength. If you need to respond today, you have time and opportunity to do that. Whether that means to become a child of God or whether that means to repent of some sin, maybe you've fallen into temptation, you've succumbed to it, you've sinned in your life, and now it's time to try to make up for that. This is another opportunity for you to respond. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.